Okay, let me just get it.
Check this one.
Okay. Good evening. This is Chaim Bravender. And the parasha this week is Dvarim. Dvarim is, has been noticed, the beginning of an interesting book, which is kind of the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu were repeated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why they became part of the Torah. But originally, they were the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they contain words of reproof. Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Bnei Yisrael and says, you did this, you did that, you did the other thing. Kind of a depressing list of review of all the things that Bnei Yisrael did in the desert that they carry with them. I mean, it's not something that you can forget. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Bnei Yisrael, listen, you have to understand. You have this problem. Like, I mean, I don't know if Moshe Rabbeinu was a registered psychologist, but he was talking to the psychology of the people. And he was saying to them that history is something that you carry around with you. Sometimes it gets so deep into you that it's not so easy to get out. And so on the eve of entering into Eretz Yisrael, I mean, it'll take us a while to get there in the Parashat HaShavua, but in fact, they are standing with Moshe Rabbeinu on the eve of entering into Eretz Canaan. The Moshe Rabbeinu stands up and says to them, you know what, you have to remember more than anything else is who you are. And who you are can only be accessed through the aggregate of what you've done, all the things that you've done. I mean, you don't have to go running off to a psychologist to understand that. But it's clear. It's clear. And therefore, remembering is such an important aspect of the Jewish ethos. What we are and what we can make of ourselves has to do with what we remember about ourselves and what it is that we see as having been the good side of us and the things that we see that were the bad side of us. And that doesn't go away. That doesn't go away. I mean, it's something that you have to deal with all the time. So even though there were certain mitzvot of remembering that the Torah kind of lays out for us, Moshe Rabbeinu said in his final speeches to Bnei Yisrael, what we have to remember is history. What happened? What happened? Because even if it seems to have disappeared, it's a long time ago. It's something that we did, and we've almost forgotten that we did it. Nevertheless, somehow, this is Moshe Rabbeinu's position, it stays with us. And you know, the Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu was not trying to aggravate Bnei Yisrael, to embarrass them, to insult them, to remind them of the things that happened, but he was trying to say. He, the Ramban, said that Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to say that in spite of everything you've done, everything you've opposed, every idea that you have denied, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with you. And that's something also to remember. Something to remember. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated us through these years in the desert with chesed. We received more than we deserved. And it's important to notice that that has to do with the foundation of our relationship. And that's history. That's our history. It's our history. And so we could ask, I mean, how are we doing on remembering Tisha B'Av? So I'm not sure what the answer is. I mean, I know Tisha B'Av is very kind of consuming. I mean, you know, it's a fast day. Fast days are difficult, even for people who are healthy. I mean, we're used to eating at regular times. Our stomachs are unhappy about fasting, and our heads may be unhappy about fasting. And so we remember, I mean, we force ourselves to remember that there was a Churban Beit HaMikdash, that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And ever since the Beit HaMikdash, I mean, the first temple was destroyed, we really don't know what it is that we're supposed to remember. Okay, we remember that there was once a Beit HaMikdash, and we remember that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and in fact, that we're a little more sophisticated, we understand that there was not just one Beit HaMikdash, but there were two Beit HaMikdash. And if we go even beyond that, we know that the Chachamim in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash wondered whether the memory of Beit HaMikdash number one was canceled out, but we know that it wasn't. And we know that we remember. I mean, we understand that Yirmiyahu Anavi, who is granted with the authorship of the Megillat Eicha, Yirmiyahu Anavi, Megillat Eicha, right, remember that? He was there at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. The time of the second Beit HaMikdash, the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash was not recorded by a Navi. But we remember it. We remember the whole thing as one mush together. Because it is a big mush. I mean, how could we have done that to ourselves at the time? We give up the Beit HaMikdash? I mean, assuming that it had to do with our own action and wasn't something that came irrespective of ourselves. So if we did it to ourselves, we weren't dedicated, we weren't careful, we weren't didn't strike a chord for the details, all of those things. I mean, we did it. But we remember it together. That's the way we remember. And then throughout the years, you know, other things were added on. Other things were added on, the burning of the Talmud. All the way until the Holocaust. The Holocaust became part of Tisha B'Av, in a manner of speaking. Maybe not for everybody, but for some people. In other words, the memory of our lack of function, lack of adherence to the system, lack of adherence, like put all together in one day. One day of memory, it's a good thing or a bad thing? It's hard to know. Hard to know. Personally, I think that it's not enough. It seems to me that, I mean, even though the halakha, which, you know, halakha has is also a message. The halakha has determined that we should remember the Churban Beit HaMikdash all the time, all year long, even at a wedding. Wedding, I mean, like in some manner of speaking, is the apex of joy. It's like all there is to do, well, unless you're the father of the bride, where you have to also write a check, but all there is to do at a wedding is to be happy. It's her only obligation. Be happy, sing, dance, listen to the music. All we have to do, under the chuppah, minhag, which is pretty generally accepted throughout the Jewish world, is don't forget about the Churban Beit HaMikdash. But in spite of all of that, in spite of the fact that the Churban Beit HaMikdash is really, you know, don't leave some space on a wall in your house to indicate that there's the Beit HaMikdash, is not, don't always, and we increase Tisha B'Av to the Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av from Rosh Chodesh from Shiva Tammuz. I mean, it's like we go out of our way. We make it difficult for ourselves in order to remember. In order to remember, but what exactly are we remembering? The world that I grew up in, you know, the world of New York Jewry, which also became Queens Jewry and Long Island Jewry and New Jersey Jewry. I mean, all of those Jewries. I mean, we have a lot to be proud of, those of us who live here. I mean, we have schools, we have yeshivot, we have community centers. I mean, we're raising generations of children who are more and more Jewish than their parents in obvious ways. Remember, when I was a kid, it was not easy to daven mincha when you were on a train. Today, I think it's easier. In spite of the fact that there are little kind of problems, the problems of anti-Semitism, someone came up, but you're talking about a much stronger Jewish community. So what is that Jewish community supposed to remember? What is it supposed to remember about? Okay, it happened, there was another. So in spite of the fact that we put in a lot of effort into remembering, in spite of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu told us it's about the nature of the Jewish people. We have to look for the nature. In spite of all of that, we feel, I think, as a collective community, that we're doing pretty well. And this, of course, includes Eretz Yisrael, where there's a tremendous amount of Torah being learned. Where Jewish institutions develop all the time. So what is it that we can do today that's not just external and not just like an annoyance? What way is there to remember what it is that we're supposed to be remembering about the Churban Beit HaMikdash? But also, I don't think that as a community, we miss the Beit HaMikdash the way we missed Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Eretz Yisrael. We missed Eretz Yisrael. But we kept coming back to it. We missed the Beit HaMikdash, but unlike the Aliyah of Ezra, we didn't really think to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. We didn't know what to do with it. Before we go on, I'd like to mention that this shir is Leilui Nishmat Nachman Ben Gedalia Kohen Zal, as dedicated in memory of Mr. Norman Rubeck Zal by his loving family. Thank you to the Rubeck family. So I wanted to kind of connect it oddly to a pasuk in Megillat Esther. I mean, this search that we have for a meaningful memory. Like, what are we supposed to be thinking about? So the pasuk is this way, Saper Haman Lazarus Ishto. Remember Haman? Purim. It's Purim. Esther Perikva Pasuk Yud Givay, Saper Haman Lazarus Ishto. He had a wife whose name was Zeresh. She was very clever. Ulecholo Avav, and all those who hung around, you know, the people, when you have some person of power, so people of lesser power hang around. And they called in the Pasuk, Ohavav. the lovers, but you know, they don't mean lovers, I mean people who say they love. At Kol Asher Karau, all the things that happened, you remember what happened? The king had a dream, and he decided that he had to reward Mordechai, and he appointed Haman to be the kind of in charge of giving out the reward. He dressed him up, he put him on a horse. All of these things are obviously symbolic and meaningful to the people in Shushan HaBira. Vayomru lo chachama v'zer shuto, and so they turned to Haman. Chachama, the people he sought advice from, and Zeresh Ishto, Zeresh his wife, and they said, Im Mizera Yehudim Mordechai, if Mordechai is a Jew, Asher Achilota Lefol Panav Lo Techalo, you started, it like it looks like it's happening, you know, the people come and they interpret dreams. Here there was no dream. It was real, it really happened. He says, you know, if Mordechai is on the horse, and the horse belongs to the king, and the garments belong to the king. I mean, that's really a statement, Haman. That's like something happening. He says, you're not going to be able to recover. You're not going to be able to. I mean, it's over. It's happened. It's like a Shakespearean interlude. You know, like you could try whatever you want. It's, you know, the end is, we know what the end is going to be. And then the pasuk ends, ki nafol tipol lifana. So, you know, Chazal, we're very sensitive to word changes, to additional words that in the language, I mean, it's not the chumash, it's not so much that it's divinely inspired in that way. But still, Chazal wondered, why say Nafol Tipolifanav? Why not just say Tipolifanav? You're going to fall before him. Instead, what the Pasuk says is Nafol Tipolifanav. I mean, Nafol Tipol. Nafol Tipol, you will verily, verily fall. I mean, what does that mean? Why is that different? What is that supposed to teach us? One more pasuk, Odam Medabrim, while they're talking, they're trying to explain to Haman that his fate is sealed. Odam Medabrim Imo, they're talking with him. So he say, HaMelech Higiu, the officers of the king showed up. Higiu. Vayev Hilu, Laviet Haman. Ela Mishte, Asher Sta Esther, they hurried up to bring Haman to the party that Esther did. And we all know that things ended poorly for Haman, and well, of course, for Mordechai, and for Esther, and for the Jewish people in Paras and Madai. And that's the end of the story. We're left with this question of Nafolti Polifanav. Nafolti polifanav. And so there's a Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara in Megillah is largely in a drasha on Megillat Esther. And in the Gemara, we have this drasha, Darash Rabbi Yehuda ben Elai, Shtei Nefilot Halalo Lema. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Elai, what's going on here? I know what this means, but why write Nafol Tipol? I mean, he's only got to fall once. Doesn't have to fall twice. He Haman doesn't have to fall twice. So why did the writer, I mean Mordechai and Esther, somehow they wrote the Megillah, why did they kind of put in this secret note here? Amrulo. So they answered Rabbi Yehuda ben Elai, Umazo Mishula La'afar u'mishula l'kochavi. This nation, the nation of Israel, is mishula, is it's sometimes compared to the dirt and dust, and sometimes the stars. Kishehem yordim, when they're bad, they're like dust in the earth. Kishehem olim ad l'kochavim. When they go up, they go up to the stars. Up to the stars. Nafol tipol. So according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli, or the people who explained this to Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli, Nafol tipol means you've had it. You, Haman, have had it. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about Bnei Yisrael of the stars or Bnei Yisrael of the dirt. It doesn't matter. You've had it from both of them. Now, what exactly do they mean when they said Mishulal HaKochavim, that compared to the stars, or Mishulal HaFar? So we look at a few psukim, and you see Bereishit Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Tetzayin. It says V'samti et Zaracha, Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to Avraham Avinu, Kafara Aretz, like the dirt of the earth. Asher im yuchal ish limnot et afara aretz, gam zaracha yimaneh. Gam zaracha yimaneh. So here, Bnei Yisrael, the future of Am Yisrael is afara aretz. The dirt of the land, the dirt of the land. There's a lot here, but you get, take a little dirt in your hand and take a look at the kernels. I mean, they're just endless. What a bracha. It's a tremendous bracha. Breshit Perek Tedvav Pasuke, the next pasuk on the sheet. Vayotzei ota achutza again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Avraham Avinu. Vayom ha-betna shamayma, look up into heaven, Sfar HaKochavim. Count the stars in heaven. Into Chalitz Borotam, Vayomer lo kol yezaracha. Your children will number as the Kochavim. If you say it doesn't mean an exact number, but it means a big number. I mean, it's impossible the Milky Way. You know, that's us. I mean, how many stars are there? I mean, it's a number you can't even write down with the regular numerical citation. Like, I got all kinds of fancy signs that they didn't teach me when I was in school. So you see, here's a Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to Avraham Avinu, and you could ask that question: how come sometimes we're compared to Afara Aretz? And sometimes we'll compare to angels in the sky. And this goes on. This goes on. We'll turn to the next page. Next page. The next page is gone. Oh, I could do it. I think I could do it. I'm sorry. I can do it. Another pasuk. Ivarecha varechecha, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, Harba abed zaracha kichovei shamayim. You're going to have a lot of progeny. It'll be like the stars in heaven. Vikachol asher shfat hayam. It's hard to understand. And the sand on the seashore. What do you mean like the stars on the sand? Maybe both together? I mean, if it's just a way of saying innumerable, why do you have to say both? Kochvei Hashamayim, Sfat Hayam, V'yirash Zaracha et Sha'ar Oivav. Okay, your children will inherit the gate to the enemies. Rashi explains, Barecha, Barechecha, you see the Rashi? Achad la'av, achad la'ben, this is Avram and Yitzchak. Arba, arba, achad la'av, achad la'ben. So teaching Avram Avinu that the bracha is going to be carried over. It's not just the bracha to him personally. another pasuk. Rebeiti yitzarecha kechochvei hashamayim. Your descendants will be like stars, like the stars again. Vinatati lizarecha kol haratzot ha'ele, and they will inherit all this land. And everybody will feel wonderful about the fact that you're children. It's like a sort of messianic prophecy. But again, they are like stars. They're like stars. So you see that Am Yisrael is sometimes called star. They're going to be like the stars. And sometimes they're going to be like the dirt of the earth or the sand of the sea. And it could be that these two ways are just different ways of saying tremendous numbers. The number will be tremendous, but if that's the case, why do I need both? Why do I need both? So if we stop talking about that and just like think about another something else, that the parasha of Devarim, the parasha of Dvarim and the Shabbat, and we read the parasha of Dvarim, it's always the parasha that we read before Tisha B'Av. That's how the calendar is worked out. The parasha Shabbos Dvarim, like this year, Shabbos is Dvarim and Sunday is Tisha B'Av. But generally, the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, is the we read the parasha of Dvarim in Shul. We read the parasha of Dvarim in Shul. What's the connection? Why Dvarim? Dvarim, we said before that Moshe Rabbeinu is starting to tell Bnei Yisrael who they are and what they've done and what they should be introspective about, how they should understand themselves. What's that got to do exactly with Tisha B'Av? Okay. Tisha B'Av is nothing in a long list of historical events that indicate that we have a problem. But why Dvarim? Any parasha of Moshe Rabbeinu speaking would be appropriate, and besides which, I don't see that much content. So some people say it's because of the word Eicha. Eicha, we know, is the first word of Megillat Eicha. The first word in the Megillat Eicha is Eicha. And in Dvarim, there's a pasuk where Moshe Rabbeinu says, Eicha asa levadi torchachem v'masachem v'rivchem, how will I bear alone all the troubles you make, the things I have to bear, the fights you fight about, how can I do it? Eicha. So because there's an Eicha in Dvarim and there's an Eicha at the beginning of Megillat Eicha, that's a connection. The connection is made that makes it, I mean, but it seems okay, it's a connection, but it doesn't seem to be that such great significance. Maybe I'm mistaken. So to get a hint about Eicha, I want to, like, so what is Eicha? Before we see a pasuk in Yeshayahu, you see the first pasuk in Megillat Eicha says, Eicha yeshva badad, ha'ira bati am haitaka almana. Eicha is a word which in Hebrew is similar to the word Eich, which could be translated as how. How could it happen? Oh, well, we know how it happened. We know exactly how it happened. But that's not the question. Eicha is different than Eich. Eicha means something different than Eich. Eich means how did it happen? Eicha means since it couldn't happen, how did it happen? How did we understand Yeshva Badad, Yerushalayim is alone, the great city, Haitak Almana, alone, unrespected, unconnected. After all, it was the city of God. It was the city in which God's palace was built. I understand that we deserve to be punished. I understand that we deserved to suffer. I understand that we did terrible things. We forgot about God. We forgot about the service of God. We forgot about being with God. We forgot all of those things. That I understand. I understand about punishment, but I don't understand Eicha. Yeshva ba'adad ha'ir abat yam haydak almana. That I don't understand. And not only don't understand it, but I know that there is no understanding of it. Because in some way, in some kind of strange way, it was God punishing God. And we know that there is this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went into exile with the Jewish people. What does that mean, that God went into exile? I mean, God doesn't have space. It doesn't have time. It's like every place, every time, everywhere. But if there was a Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, that meant something. It was the follow-up of the Ohel Moed in the desert, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us that there could be a special place for God in this world, in spite of the fact that God created the world and was beyond the creation itself at the time of creation, or time in creation. Nevertheless, the Navi is sitting there, Yirmiyahu is sitting there crying, how could this happen? Not, I'm unhappy that it happened, but that it couldn't happen. You're talking about something that couldn't happen. Something couldn't happen happened. That God couldn't defend his temple, his place, against some marauding Romans. I mean, okay, the Romans had an army, but God is God. God made the walls of Jericho fall. The walls of the Roman legions could also have fallen. Eicha Yeshua Badad Ha'ir Abasiyam. And Yirmiyahu knew this, that that was the meaning of the word Eicha from Moshe Rabbeinu. Remember Dvarim Perik Aleph Pasuk Yud Bet. Here it is. Here it is. Just 1 second. Here it is. Here it is. Eicha. He learned it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's impossible. It's impossible. He said, what was my job? My job was to take them out of Mitzrayim and bring them to Eretz Canaan. But what was the real job that Moshe Rabbeinu had? To make sure that Bnei Yisrael were worthy. That Bnei Yisrael were worthy of the Torah, and then that they were worthy of Eretz Canaan. And all the time Bnei Yisrael said, we are not worthy. We don't want to be worthy. We don't want to accept that responsibility. We want to be on that level. And so in some manner or other, you could say that Moshe Rabbeinu said about himself, I failed. Eicha asah levadi, I can't do it. I can't do it myself, even though I was given this instruction specifically by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't do it. I can't do it. And that created in Am Yisrael the impossible question, the question that was impossible to answer. And the first one who asked that question was Moshe Rabbeinu in the parasha of Devarim. When he said, Eicha Esalav Adi, I don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this job. I can't do it. I'm trying, but I can't do it. And because of that, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, of course, knew the Chumash, started off the Megillah, Megillah's Eicha, with the words Eicha Yeshua, but that this couldn't happen. This couldn't happen. So we go back. Just 1 second, we go back. They said to Haman, Ki nafolti po lefanav, ki nafolti po lefanav, and we know that Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli asked, why nafolti po, why do we need both of them? They said to him, sometimes Bnei Yisrael are compared to dirt, to dust, and sometimes to the stars. When they go down lafar. Chain olim, olim ad l'kochavim. When they go down, they're like dirt, and when they go up, they're like stars, and we saw that in the psukim. So what was it that the wife, Haman's wife and his advisors, what did they say to Haman? Nafolti po alav, there's nothing you can do. It doesn't even have anything to do with the state of the people of Israel. They could be like stars, or they could be like dirt. They will do you in. And that's what the Pesukim meant, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu. He said, Nafolti po, Avraham Avinu, sometimes they'll be like stars, and sometimes they'll be like dirt. But they'll just get bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. That's the guarantee. That's the guarantee that he gave his gave to Avraham Avinu and to Yitzchak. Avraham and Yitzchak had that guarantee. So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, second. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, Eicha Esalav Adi Torchachem Masachem Rivchem, maybe there's a positive note. He says, I know that I have to do it. Maybe it's Levadi, I can't do it by myself, but I know that it's going to work out at the end. And maybe that's what Yirmiyahu HaNavi said when he said, when he said, Eicha Yeshva Badad Ha'ira Basi Am, he said, I don't know the answer to the question. It was, I can't answer the specific question, but I know the faulty pole, that the guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Am Yisrael, that they would continue to exist. That guarantee is true. Whether they are nafol or tipol, whether they are like dirt or like the stars. And of course, there are going to be bad times, but there will also be good times after the bad times. And that's the thing that we hope for the most, and that we were led to believe that in fact the agreement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that the good times will out. The good times will out. And Eicha Yeshua Badad is not going to be understood, but Am Yisrael is going to be able to rebuild itself, and that's all we proved. of Yochanan ben Zakkai, all the Jewish halachists, the Rishonim, the Achronim, the Torah scholars, they've all proven themselves that they can pull themselves out of the Am Yisrael Kafar and bring us into the Am Yisrael of Kochavim. And the Or, the light that we all think should be coming from Am Yisrael, I think more and more is part of our tradition and understanding. What we do, in spite of the Churban Beit HaMikdash, in spite of the fact that we continue to remember who we are and what we've caused and why we did it, in spite of all that, we seem to have the faith that's necessary to rebuild yourself. Without that faith, rebuilding would be impossible. And in the last century, we've seen it after World War II. And the nations around the world, but most especially in Eretz Yisrael. So the Churban Beit HaMikdash remains for us a point at which we have to discover who we are. But the idea that the Beit HaMikdash, that the Churban Beit HaMikdash will stifle us, stop us, prevent us from becoming the stars that we might be, well, that idea seems to be incorrect. And even on Tisha B'Av, I think it behooves us to remember that there was a world, just as it's impossible for us to forget the Churban Beit HaMikdash, it's important for us to remember that there's a history after the Churban Beit HaMikdash, which we can, generally speaking, be quite proud of. All the best. Shabbat Shalom. I wish you, as they say in England, well over the fast. All the best.
Have a meaningful fast.
Thank you. Okay.